Captured in the Word, Morning Reflection. We are now in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to take it. And let's turn together. We're looking at verses 1 through 3. I'm going to mention a little bit about the next section because they're connected, but we'll just be looking at verses 1 through 3 today. Here's what the scriptures say. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry with thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also a diverse vanity, but fear thou God. Now, when we come to this passage, we could really look at it in two parts. The first part is the observation, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. And then the second part, what we plan to look at tomorrow, is the application section. Let me give you a summary statement, a very simple summary statement, and then we can dig into some very important and practical principles. A summary is this: talk is cheap if it's not backed with action. Talk is cheap if it's not backed with action. God wants us to be a people who, rather than telling people what we're going to do and not do it, that we just do it and then people realize what we plan to do. There's a really big difference. One person is focused on being industrious. One person recognizes that he's limited. He may not be able to do something exactly the way that he planned it. And so the person simply puts their effort into accomplishing something. And as they're in the midst of it, they make their adjustments and they actually do something very productive. The other person dreams a lot, tells people what he's going to do, and then he doesn't follow through with it. One is a vanity and one is something that actually has substance and value. And God wants us to be the one who has substance and value in what we plan to do and purpose to do and actually fulfill. So here are a couple of truths that we find in verses 1 through 3 that I hope will help you this morning. The first is this: listen and think before you make a commitment. Let me say it again. Listen and think before you make a commitment. In verses 1 and 2, he says, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Now, what's interesting is in this passage, he refers to several parts of us that we have a tendency to use. He talks about our feet. He talks about our ears. He talks about our mouth. He talks about our heart. And basically, he says, be slow to move in a certain direction. Be slow to say that you're going to move in a direction. Let something process before you make that decision. So look at each phrase and think about the implication of each of the phrases in that statement. The first is keep thy foot. In other words, guard against that impulsive nature to start on something that you've not thought through. How many of you have had something that, rather than thinking it through, getting all of the details, making sure that you are ready for that commitment, and then moving forward with the will to actually do what you want to do, you just stepped out and started doing something, and you didn't understand all the implications, you didn't understand how difficult it was going to be, and then about maybe a quarter or halfway through the thing that you were doing, you backed off and you stopped because you didn't consider everything that was involved. Well, basically what Solomon is saying is keep your foot. In other words, don't start something that you haven't thought through. Don't start something that you don't have the ability physically or mentally, the capacity to be able to do it. Hold back that impulsive nature. And we make lots of decisions to do things that we haven't thought through. And generally, as we get older, or as we've done this a few times and we kind of get burned or we kind of look foolish in what we did, we start realizing before I do something, before I say I'm going to do something, I need to make sure I really have thought it through and I'm ready to make that commitment. The second phrase that really stands out, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Now, when he uses the phrase sacrifice of fools, he's talking about a free will offering where somebody basically says, God, I am committing, I am vowing, I am promising before you that I am going to do such and such a thing. The truth is that we really don't make commitments on this level very often. Maybe some of the areas where we do that is we make a commitment to marriage. So we vow before God, we make a covenant commitment before God that we are, till death does us part, going to be faithful to our spouse. So we make that kind of a commitment. When we get into a legal arrangement, for instance, when we're buying a house or something like that, we get into an arrangement that would be almost to this kind of a level. But the idea is that in those days, people would go into the temple and they would say, God, I am committing, I am vowing, I'm promising that I'm going to do such and such a thing. For instance, Hannah, she told God that if he gave her a child, she was going to give the child back to him. That was a vow that she made. And you know what? She followed through with that. When she made the vow, she may not have been thinking about all the implications of that. We see Jephthah, who made a very rash vow. He said, whatever comes out of my house, I'm going to offer it to God. Well, obviously, he didn't think that one through. And that is a tragic story of a man who spoke rashly and did not consider the implication of such a foolish commitment. The truth is, we find in Scripture many people like that. Well, we could do the exact same thing, where we make a commitment that we've not thought through. And so he says, be more ready to hear than to make that commitment. In other words, listen, think, plan, purpose to do something rather than going out and saying, here's what I'm going to do, and then you don't follow through with it. The third phrase that he says is this: be not rash with thy mouth. So he's talked about our foot, in other words, that tendency that we have, that impulsive nature that we have to start something that we haven't thought through. He talks about making a sacrifice of fools, in other words, making a commitment or a vow to God that we have not fully thought through and we're ready to perform. Now he's talking about being rash with our mouth. In other words, we need to control that impulsive use of our tongue, where we just tell somebody, hey, I'm going to do this, and then we don't do it. So we need to listen and think before we make a commitment. The second fact we're going to see in the passage is that our perspective and our ability to perform our commitments are limited. And because of this, we need to be cautious about making commitments. Now, when he says, when I say our perspective and our ability to fulfill that commitment, what I'm going to say is that we do not know all of the factors involved when we decide, yes, I'm going to do something. And so we have to be so cautious that we do our homework before we get into something. Or we say, it is my desire to do something, or it is my purpose to do something. I'm laboring to do this. This is my plan, as opposed to, I promise, I vow, I will do this, when we really don't know all the factors involved. The other side that we need to recognize is that we may know most of the factors, but we ourselves may not have the physical or mental capability to actually make something happen the way that we intend it to happen. Notice the way that he expresses it in verse 3. He says, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Three little phrases that are so important. The first is that God is in heaven. The idea is that God is sovereign. God sees everything. He has the full picture. That's him. You're not like him. You are not in heaven. You are not sovereign. You can't control your circumstances. You can't control how people will respond to you. You can't control your physical strength. You may have limits that you're totally unaware of at the moment. And when you get into a thing, you'll begin to realize those things. There are lots of factors you cannot control. And so God's in heaven. He sees everything. He knows what's going on. He's all powerful. He's able to perform what he says he's going to perform. But you're not that way. He says, thou art upon earth. He says, we're limited. We can't see the whole picture. In fact, the only thing that you can absolutely control is what you say you're going to do. In other words, once you get into an endeavor, there are factors that are outside of your control. There are some factors that have to do with your limitations. There are some factors that have to do with what other people are going to do as they relate to you in that set of circumstances. there are some factors that really involve just God's sovereignty and how he chooses to work in circumstances. And so he says, be cautious to move forward with a commitment and say, I'm going to do this because God who knows everything is different than you who doesn't know everything. And so his application is, let your words be few. Don't make hasty, numerous commitments. I remember when we were in Ghana, there would be times that we would talk about a person who liked to talk about what they were going to do. And one of the things that people would say is, oh, that person, they talk too much. What they mean by that is that they are so quick to say they're going to do something and they don't follow through with it. Solomon's saying, don't be a person who talks too much. Don't be a person that says, I'm going to do this, and you don't have the ability to do it. And you don't have the will to actually follow through with it. You're not going to press through and persevere through the challenges and actually fulfill what you say you will fulfill. The third fact that we're going to see here is this. An abundance of work produces numerous dreams, and fools are known by talking too much. This is a really interesting little fact here that we find in these verses. Notice how he expresses it in verse 3. He says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business. That's a really interesting statement. A fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Now, this is a proverbial statement. In other words, he's going to compare and contrast two people. He has one person who's industrious, and he says the industrious person who's getting a lot done, he dreams a lot. And the person who's the fool doesn't get very much done, but he dreams a lot too. So why does he make this comparison contrast here? Well, he wants us to understand that rather than dreaming and telling people what we're going to do, we should do what we've purposed to do and allow that to actually stimulate our thoughts to cause us to dream bigger and to cause us to learn more and to cause us to try more difficult things and expand things. He says, a dream cometh through the multitude of business. There's really two ways you could look at this. One way is you could say it this way. People who are dreaming big dreams are people who are involved in work. In other words, industry produces industry. Let's say that you start a business. You have one person who says, I'm going to start a business, and then they don't do it. You have another person who starts the business. They work through the details, and in the midst of the work that they're doing, ideas pop into their head. Why do those ideas pop into their head? Well, because as they're involved in the work and they come across challenges and difficulties and they see opportunities that are available, they begin to change their plans. They begin to actually mold what they're doing into those ideas that pop into their head, those opportunities that arise. Okay, a challenge comes, and how do they meet that challenge? Well, they try something different because they realize it didn't work. Or they realize that they can do something better. And so basically what he's saying is a person who is industrious is going to have new ideas. In other words, as he lays down at night, he's going to be thinking about what he's doing, what's working, what's not, what can be improved, what can't be improved, what opportunities are available. And he's going to begin to pursue those things. Industry produces industry. When we work, we have ideas. On the other side, he could be saying this, and this is legitimately a possibility, that people who are consumed with their work can't stop thinking about it. And really, both ideas are there. But I think in the context, the ideas that he's trying to say, industrious people are dreamers. But they're not just dreamers, they're doers. In other words, they take action on what they are thinking about. Fools are people who dream but don't do. And so their dreams are just empty words. They make commitments, but they don't have the will, and they don't have the work ethic, and they don't have the stick-to-itiveness to make sure that they actually get done what they tell people they're going to get done. And so that's the contrast. The man who works and dreams and works more, or the man who dreams and doesn't work, and everybody goes, well, you didn't follow through what you're going to do. A fool's voice, he says, is known by the multitude of his words. Wise people are known for what they do. Fools are known for what they say they'll do, and they never accomplish. And so the whole point of this passage really is to say, listen, empty, words are empty if they're not backed by action. Rather than telling people what we're going to do, let's do it. And when we do it, people will recognize that person's industrious. And as you're in the middle of that work, you're going to have more ideas. And work produces ideas, and ideas get worked on, and as they get worked on, what happens? We have an industrious thing that's being accomplished. So how do we apply this morning? How can we take this very simple section of Scripture that talks about words that are empty because they're not backed by action, and people who actually plan and work hard and accomplish things? What can we learn from that? How can we apply that? Well, the first thing is this. We need to keep the big picture in mind. I'm not God. You're not God. There are certain things that I can't control and you can't control. We can't control how people are going to respond to us. We can't control every aspect of our circumstance. We can't control our own physical health. We cannot control many, many factors when it comes to the things that we purpose to do. And so we need to remember we are just human. We are creatures, not the Creator. And so when we set out to do a thing, we need to realize that we're going to come across certain limitations. There are things that we thought were going to work out, and they're not going to work out. And so when we start a project or we begin an endeavor, we need to go into that thing with a desire to persevere, with a willingness to make changes, and a recognition that ultimately it's God's good hand that's going to make that thing come to fruition or not. And so we need to keep the big picture in mind when we're going and setting out to do something. The second thing that I'll mention is this. We need to learn to keep our impulsive tendencies in check. And there are two specific members of our person that need to be held in check. The first is our feet and the second is our tongue. In other words, before we step out and start doing something, we need to think it through. We need to count the cost. We need to ask the question, am I willing to actually stick this out? Do I have the resources and the ability, and do I have that tenacity to actually make this be accomplished the way it's supposed to? So we need to keep that impulsive tendency to step out in check until we've thought it through and we are ready to make that commitment. And we need to keep our tongues in check. Before we tell people what we're going to do, we need to count the cost. In fact, it might even be better for us to step out and start doing something and start demonstrating that we're serious about something before we tell everybody our whole plan. There's nothing wrong with calling people alongside of you and saying, this is what I'd like to do, and I want you to help me in this, and here's an area where you can help me in this. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a big difference between doing that and saying, here's what I'm going to do, and then you don't follow through with it. People won't take you seriously. And so the reality is we have to keep the impulsive tendencies of our feet and our tongues in check. We've got to be diligent on the front side so that people come and say, what are you doing? Rather than saying, why didn't you do that? I thought you said you were going to do that. There's a really big difference. And the third thing I'm going to mention is this. We need to prayerfully and humbly plan and work hard to accomplish productive pursuits. And let our actions speak for themselves. You know, we should be a people who plan, who think, who are ready to work hard, who are willing to make changes, who are willing to dream big. But we need to recognize that as we do that humbly. We are dependent on God. We do that prayerfully. We express our dependence on Him as we're in the middle of that endeavor. And so as we think about this issue of the emptiness of words without action, I want to encourage you to be an industrious person today. A person who plans, a person who thinks, a person who steps out only after you have counted the cost and are willing to put your shoulder to the plow, using a proverbial statement, and you're going to stick with it, and you're going to actually make the decisions that need to be made for the things that you purpose to do to actually be productive. I hope that's been a challenge to you this morning. As I read this morning and as I thought about this morning, it challenged me in a lot of ways. And so I hope that it'll help you this morning and really throughout the rest of the week. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study a very important topic. Help us to be industrious people, not talkers, but doers. Help us to persevere in our labors, And help us to recognize as we set out to do something that we need to do it humbly, recognizing that you are the ultimate one who causes a thing to prosper or not. I pray that you'll bless each person that's listened to this morning. May it encourage and help them. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you this morning, and I pray that this will have been a challenge to you. If it has, please share that. And Lord willing, I will look forward to talking to you tomorrow. Bye now.